All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus 26. Exodus 26. Our subject is the tent of goat's hair. The tent of goat's hair. Exodus 26 in verse 7, we read, "And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make." Now we're told over in Exodus 35 and verse 6, all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And you think about that. The women, here we have a type of Christ brought forth of a woman. That's who was used to spin this goat's hair. So you have a type of Christ brought forth of a woman. Christ himself came forth of a woman. He's called in Genesis 3:15 the seed of woman. And so we're drawn to this passage, looking at it and seeing the type that this goat's hair covering is a picture of Christ as a man, bearing the sins of his people, carrying our sins far away, carrying them away so that God remembers our sin no more. It's a picture of Christ, our sin offering. That's the picture here. And we're going to see, first of all, Christ in the material that was used. And then we're going to see Christ in the number of curtains. Then we'll see Christ in the loops and tatches. And then we'll see Christ in the hangings of these curtains. You know, the scriptures tell us that the whole tabernacle, everything about it, pictures Christ. And this temple, this curtain of goat's hair is full of pictures of Christ. All right, first of all, in the material used, it says in verse 7, "Thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle." Now that word curtains, the root word means to fear and tremble. You picture this curtain as it stretched out over the tabernacle, and that wilderness was called a waste howling wilderness. So you have all that wind blowing, and you can just picture that curtain trembling in the wind. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world holy. You and I didn't. You and I came into this world with no fear of God, no reverence, no fear and trembling in our hearts for God. That's what the scripture said. Christ came into this world perfectly fearing God, perfectly trembling before God, in reverence of God. And he served God the Father in the perfection of fear and reverence, so that all his people did in him. That's one way in which Christ is our holiness. He served God in perfect reverence for God. And then the goat that was used. This was a kid of the goats. It was a little goat. It was a kid of the goats. And it pictures Christ bearing the sins of his people. Christ the sin bearer. Christ the sin offering. Now how do we know that? Well, because God required the same goat in all the sin offerings. This was the goat he required in the sin offerings. For each individual Israelite, God required sin offerings when they would sin. And he required a kid of the goats, is what he required, be used when they brought an offering for their sin. And then when you had all of the children of Israel together, and they were observing the great feasts that they observed throughout the year, God required a goat to be the only animal used for their sin offering. That was the only animal that could be used. Now go with me to Luke Leviticus 4, and I'll show you an illustration of a sin offering. Leviticus 4, or an example, Leviticus 4 in verse 23. Now this was, when somebody had sinned, an individual, it says, the sinner, verse 23, it says there, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats. That pictures a sinner coming to God through faith in Christ. And it says, a male without blemish. Christ knew no sin. He knew no sin. He died the just for the unjust. Even on the cross, he never sinned, not even in thought, not even in the intent of his heart. And it says, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat. Now this was ceremonial. This was a type only. But Christ is the express image. He's what it pictured. And Scripture says, he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin. He made him sin for us who knew no sin. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all his elect. And then, what does that mean? Well, it means before God and before the law and in Christ's suffering, he was made sin in every way except the corruption of his nature. The guilt, he experienced that. The shame, Scripture says he endured the cross despising the shame. The forsaking, forsaken by God, he experienced that. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. All the feeling that our sin causes, he was touched with it. On the cross more than anywhere else. Says, in all points he was tempted as we are. The devil tempted him more on the cross than anywhere else. We hear that in the Psalms, when we read the Psalms. And yet, without sin. He himself never sinned. He was made sin for us. He bore the sin of his people. Yet he himself knew no sin. And then after the goat was ceremonially made sin, then look here in verse 24. It says, and they shall kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. Now, they did not kill the goat without blemish. They didn't kill the goat while it was spotless. They only killed the goat after the sins were ceremonially laid on it. And that's because God is just. The whole purpose of Christ on the cross is to teach us that God is righteous. Whenever the sin of the people was laid on Christ, God spared not his own son. That's how just God is. He required a sacrifice to save his people. Now, it says there, and here's why, it is a sin offering. The word is, it is sin. It is sin. Verse 25, and the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. Now this goat of the sin offering was the only sacrifice whose blood was poured out. This was the only sacrifice whose blood was poured out. And that's to picture Christ. The Scripture says of our Lord Jesus, he has poured out his soul. He poured out his life's blood unto death. He poured it out. And that goat is only the goat, a picture of a sin bearer, only his blood was poured out. And Christ, when he bore the sin of his people, poured out his blood. Poured it out. And it says, 26, and he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. Christ made at-one-ment. He made atonement for the sins of his people. He didn't try to. It's not up to you to make it effectual. He made it effectual. He accomplished it at the cross. He made atonement for his people. And so God's just to forgive us. He's just to forgive us. Christ put away the sin of his people so his people have no sin. So, do you see why I say this? These curtains of goat's hair, same goat that was used in the sin offering, this black goat's hair covering is what pictures Christ made sin for his people and who took our sin away. Now, back in Exodus 26, we also see Christ in the number of curtains that was used. He says in verse 7, he says there at the end, 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of the one curtain shall be 30 cubits, the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. Now God commanded Moses here to make a total of 11 curtains of goat's hair. He coupled 5 together by themselves, and he coupled 6 together by themselves. And so when they're put together, they make 11 curtains of one measure. Now, I'm not going to list all the sacrifices, but I'll put them in my sermon notes when I send them out so you'll have them. But God constantly required the children of Israel to make sin offerings. They at the very first of the year, they were to remember the Passover, and they had to make a sin offering. And throughout the year, all the way to the end, all the great feasts, there were sin offerings to be made. Sometimes they had to make sin offerings every day of the week in some of those feasts. And then individually, they would have to make sin offerings. Constantly, because they were constantly reminded of their sin. Now listen to this. For those individual sinners who brought sin offerings, the number of sacrifices in which goats were used for a sin offering was 5. 5 sacrifices requiring a goat. And for the whole congregation in the great feast, the number of great feasts that required a sin offering was 6. So you got 5 curtains here, and you got 6 curtains, the same as there was 5 offerings for sin and 6 offerings for sin. And that tells us it's the same message in this curtain. And that message is Christ. He's the sin offering who put away the sin of his people. Now be sure to get this. When those curtains were coupled together, there was 11 curtains of one measure. And just like those 11 sacrifices, if you take the 5 sacrifices and individual sacrifices and those 6 feasts of sacrifices, and you put them together, that covers all the sin of the children of Israel. And so just like those 11 sacrifices took in all the sin of Israel, these 11 curtains picture the truth that Christ put away all the sin of all his elect children. All God's Israel. He put away all the sin of all his people. There remains nothing else. This is what the Holy Spirit, when he comes and gives us a new heart, he bears witness in our heart. And he teaches us that God remembers our sin no more. They had to offer and offer and offer and offer because there was a constant remembrance of sin. Because these blood of bulls and goats never purged their conscience. But when God enters in spirit, he purges our conscience. He makes you see this blood of Christ, and he purges your conscience to know God remembers your sin no more. And where remission of our sins is, there's no more offering for sin. So you quit working to try to put away your sin, and you rest in Christ. Did you hear me? This is what brings a sinner to faith in Christ. When God bears witness in your heart that Christ put away our sin, and God remembers it no more, God's people can never sin before God, before the law, so as to be condemned. It'll never happen because Christ already answered for that. And when he makes you know this in your heart, that there's no more offering for sin, that's when a man will quit working and believe on Christ. That's when he'll do it. Scripture tells us God was in Christ reconciling the world of his elect unto himself. That's full atonement. Christ made full atonement. God reconciled his people in Christ. He made full atonement. He blotted out our sins. And therefore, because the sins are blotted out, because there's no record of sin anymore for God's people, God will not impute our trespasses unto us. How could he do that and be just? For he hath made him sin for us. He made Christ sin, and Christ answered the justice of God for his people. This one who knew no sin, this one who never sinned, this one who was never corrupted, he was made sin in every way but corruption. And he made his people the righteousness of God in him. That's how God's just to forgive us. Now, thirdly, Christ in the loops and the tatches. Look here back at Exodus 26 and verse 10. It says, "And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one." So they put these, each individual curtains, they were all separated. They put them together. And they had these 50 loops, and they had these brass tatches that clamped into those loops so that all the curtains were together, made one curtain. One curtain. Now, there were 50 loops, and there were 50 tatches of brass to couple these curtains together, to bring these curtains together, that it may be one. 50 is the number of Pentecost. That's what Pentecost means. It means 50. 50 days, and it's the, and that festival was the ingathering of fruit, the ingathering of the crops, and it pictured the ingathering, him gathering together all his people in his holy tabernacle. That's what the picture is. And so when you look here now at these curtains, there's 50 loops, and it's bringing all these curtains together. Picture of Christ's people being brought together in his tabernacle. Now notice, it says only says loops. That's all it says here is loops. Now in the 10 white curtains, when we looked at those, that first covering, you remember the loops were blue. They were blue loops. Remember we saw blue as a picture of heaven. And those blue loops, and that everything in that first covering, in that tabernacle, those white linen sheets with the blue loops, everything in that's picturing Christ's holiness and glory as the Son of God. Come down, perfect, holy. Well, here it just says loops. Just says loops. When Christ was made sin for us, that's what's being pictured here. And when he was made sin for us, his heavenly glory was hidden. It was hidden. That's what is being declared in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross. Everything went dark in this whole world for 3 hours because Christ's glory was hidden as he's bearing the sin and judgment of God, the sin of his people and the judgment of God. And remember, the curtains of fine twined linen, they were coupled together with tatches of gold. Again, that pictures his holiness, gold. Well, here, their tatches are made of brass. And in Scripture, brass speaks of divine judgment. Divine judgment. The brazen altar, we're going to see when we get to it, it's all about divine judgment. And brass, in Scripture, pictures divine judgment. And so the tatches of brass speak of what it took to bring God's people together in one. It took the Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sin and then bearing the divine judgment of God, the wrath and judgment of God. He bore the hell that his people would have had to bear had he not done it for us. And he satisfied that justice. Scripture says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts." And that's what he did to Christ. He awoke his sword of justice and pierced it in his son. And then, so let's put this together now. You got these curtains, they're all separated. And we're reminded how sin divided all God's people. Sin divided us from God, sin divided us from one another. Completely divided us. And we were as helpless to bring ourselves together with God and with one another as these inanimate curtains would have been helpless to bring themselves together. Yet God the Father purposed from eternity to unite his elect. Go to Ephesians 1. God purposed this from eternity. Here was his purpose. For all his elect, Jew and Gentile, listen to this. Ephesians 1:9 says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." And here it is. "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times," that means in the end, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. He's talking about all his elect, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now hold your place there. So you got the coupling of these curtains coming together into one tabernacle with these brass tatches picturing Christ building his holy temple, all his people together through the suffering of divine judgment. Now look down Ephesians 2 and look at verse 14. "For he is our peace." Christ is the peace of God's elect, Jew and Gentile, who hath made both one. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That middle wall was the law, and he fulfilled it. "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace." That's what Christ did for his elect, Jew and Gentile, "and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Now that was the work Christ did for us on the cross. Here's next is the work he did in us. There's still another work to be done to bring us together. Look, verse 17. "And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." He came to you and me, Gentiles, who were far off, and he preached peace to us. And he came to his elect Gentiles who were nigh, and he preached peace to them. Now listen, "For through him," through Christ, "we both," Jew and Gentile, "have access by one Spirit unto the Father." You see this oneness, this unity Christ has created? Look, "Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation." He's talking about a building here, just like we're talking about in our text. "You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together and groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord." We're looking at the tabernacle, but it's the same picture. You grow into a holy tabernacle in the Lord, "in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Remember, God told Moses to build this tabernacle that I might dwell there, that I might inhabit that place. And that's the picture here. He's building us together as his tabernacle, where he dwells, in whom he dwells. And he did that through the divine judgment poured out on Christ to make peace and bring us together. Now lastly, let's look at Christ in the hanging of these curtains. Verse 9, Exodus 26:9, at the end there, it says, "And you shall double the sixth curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle." In other words, they folded over that sixth curtain, that one where it came to the front, they folded it over, and it came out into view over the gate, the entrance, the door to the tabernacle. So they could see that black goat's hair. And it says, verse 12, "And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent. It shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it." Now these goat's hair curtains overlapped, they covered those white curtains entirely. That white curtain picturing the glory of Christ and picturing the holiness of Christ. This black curtain overcovered that completely. It overcovered it completely. So you couldn't see that which pictured Christ's holiness and Christ's glory. You couldn't see it. Now, brethren, the unregenerate sinner, he looks at the man, Jesus, especially him crucified, and he doesn't see anything about him. That's beautiful. He doesn't see any glory. He doesn't see any form there that would make him even remotely desire him or this gospel. But you who are spiritual, you who are spiritual, you behold his glory in him being crucified. You behold it. You behold that glory in him being crucified. And what this tells us, with this all being covered over and you couldn't see his glory, you couldn't see his holiness, you couldn't see anything about him, that tells us, brethren, that God, because he's holy, he couldn't manifest his beauty and his glory openly. He couldn't tabernacle among us except first our sin be dealt with. We had to be justified. His law had to be honored. And we had to be justified. Our sin had to be put away by the sacrifice of his son. And you notice here now in verse 9, "You shall double the sixth curtain in front of the tabernacle." Now the first thing you'd see as you entered the door of the tabernacle, this beautiful gate, first thing you'd see is the black covering of goat's hair doubled over. That's the first thing you'd see. What did that represent? God calls each of his people into Christ the door, into the narrow gate called beautiful, into Christ our tabernacle, one way. And that's through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. It's through this message that declares his glory. And as they beheld that doubled over black cloth, picture of Christ made sin, it preached the gospel to them. And when they saw it doubled over, it reminded them, those that had faith, it reminded them that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God has rewarded us double grace for all our sin. For all our sin. Now back up there in verse 7. That word covering, that word means clear shining. It means conspicuous even from a distance. That's what it means. Now to the carnal eye there's no form nor comeliness in beholding Christ crucified on the cross. But to the spiritual eye, we behold Christ clearly. We behold the shining of God's glory in everything I've been talking about. How come? God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we behold the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us. We behold his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what we hear in this gospel. That's what we see in these types and these pictures. And that's all our hope. Christ Jesus, who put away our sin. Now, sinner, you saw here how this one who sinned, he was to bring a sin offering. He was to come with a goat that would die in his place to answer for all his sins and make atonement. That's a picture of a sinner coming to God through faith in Christ. The only way to come to God with this sin offering that God will receive, so that God will receive you, the only way is through faith in Christ. Believe it on Christ. You believe on Christ today, and you'll see the glory of Christ. You'll see all this. God will reveal it to you. Isn't that what he told Martha? You believe on me, you'll see my glory. That's right. And I pray today he make you believe on him. You'll see his glory. And for you that have believed on him, turn to Song of Solomon. I want to show you something real quick. We'll be done. This is what every believer says right here. This is the church speaking right here about herself. And this is what every believer says. Song of Solomon 1:5. I'm black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. I'm black as the tents of Kedar. Those were made out of that black goat's hair. And in my flesh, there's nothing good. I'm black like the tents of Kedar, but I'm comely. Robed in Christ's righteousness with Christ in me, I'm comely as the curtains of Solomon. I have that fine twined linen. And when God looks upon you, believer, he doesn't see the black goat's hair. He doesn't see our sinful flesh in Christ. He sees only the fine twined linen of perfect holiness and perfect righteousness in Christ Jesus. And he receives us. Isn't that wonderful? I pray God will bless that. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us as little children, showing us pictures and types so we can understand. Lord, how amazing that you sovereignly ruled this whole nation and brought them to build a building to show us pictures and types of Christ. Here you are feeding us all these thousands of years later from that structure you built in the wilderness. And how we do thank you, Lord. You tell us what you're going to do, just like you told us in this building, and then you bring it to pass in your Son exactly like you told us. Lord, let that be an instruction to us of how sovereign you are in the salvation of your people, that you accomplish it. Forgive us our doubting and our murmuring and our complaining, Lord. We pray you constantly keep us ever mindful of the judgment Christ bore on our behalf to make us one, that we might endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, forgive us our sin now. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.